Blog Talk Radio.
Good evening, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you so much for joining us on Human Rights Demand. You know, Frederick Douglass said that power concedes nothing without a demand. It never has and it never will. We believe that at Human Rights Demand, and so we go online and we here at Blog Talk Radio make a demand for human rights. This program is called Release the Innocent. We have a number of programs on Blog Talk Radio dealing with different matters. This one deals with actual innocence. It deals with the innocent who are caught up in the justice system for various reasons. And I'm so glad to be able to come to you today. My name is Mary Neal. I have two main advocacies, actually a number of them. One is assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill. Another is Human Rights for Prisoners March. So you could take all of my other advocacies, including the Davis-McDowell Truth Committee, which is an anti-death penalty organization. You can take all of my other advocacies and just put them inside of those two, and that is assistance to the incarcerated mentally ill, and that is Human Rights for Prisoners March. So I want to talk to you about some people and give you some updates on individuals that you might have listened to their stories on some of our radio shows, presented by relatives and friends. And I just want to thank you again for caring about human rights. human rights are the rights that we all were endowed with by our Creator God upon His decision to make us human beings and place us on the planet Earth, and He gave us dominion over it. Now, we can abdicate that responsibility. We can give others dominion over it, and we never stand up for ourselves, our neighbors, our family, and our friends if we want to. We don't have to walk in dominion. But if we are determined to walk in dominion, which God gave us, over our human rights and exert our human rights, then I ask you to join me on Human Rights Demand. Ordinarily, our programs air at 3 p.m. They're live programs. And we have one program recently added that airs at 6:30 on Friday, and that is Jenny Strozier, Keeping It Real. Jenny Strozier is a new program for Friday evenings at 6:30 p.m., and these are all Eastern times. He was incarcerated for 46 years in the state of Georgia. And yes, he's been basically incarcerated since he was 10 years old. He spent 15 years in solitary confinement. Jenny Strozier has an interesting story to tell, and he is very upbeat. He's very positive. He's had his first year out of prison. His first year out of prison will be celebrated on, I think it's July 31st. So we are so pleased to add his program to Human Rights Demand. Now, Dennis Strozier, one thing I admire about him is that he keeps it real. That's why he named his program Keeping It Real. He assumes responsibility for the life that he's led. He will be the first to tell you that he was rebellious, he was a lawbreaker, and that he was imprisoned, and he stayed in prison until his attitude changed. That is a first for me, because largely we deal with people who are innocent on Human Rights Demand and in my articles. We deal with people who are either actually innocent or they're innocent because they were mentally ill at the time that the offenses happened. I want to talk to you today about three individuals who I feel are in a lot of trouble, but it's not because they were guilty of doing anything that is illegal. And the three individuals that I want to update you about are Reverend Edward Pinckney, who used to be the president of the NAACP up there in Benton Harbor, Michigan, until he separated himself from that organization, deeming it not fit to be a member of, much less be a president of. He is now the director of BH Banco organization. That's B as in A-B, H as in hat, Banco, B-A-N-C-O, organization in Benton Harbor, Michigan. However, his ministry for justice encompasses the entire world. He cares about justice issues and gets calls for help with justice issues from all over America and even beyond. That's Reverend Edward Pinckney. And I'm spelling that P-I-N-K-N-E-Y. Well, Reverend Pinckney has been so effective as a human rights advocate that he broke another world record recently. He has become the first American to be banned from the Internet. Reverend Pinckney was the first American that we know about who was banned from the Internet. I want to read to you a quote. It says, "We have, as far as possible, closed every avenue by which light may enter slaves' minds. If we could extinguish the capacity to see the light, our work would be complete. They would then be on a level with the beasts of the field, and we should be safe. That was said by Henry Berry, addressing the Virginia House of Delegates, 1832. Do you see what Henry Berry suggested? He suggested that they close every avenue by which light could enter the slaves' minds. You know, the slaves were not taught how to read and write. They were not given any education because that was light. Education is light. Being literate is light. And they felt like, and they still feel like, it was necessary to extinguish the capacity to see light so that what? So that they could be safe. And who is the they? The they is no one of any particular race. The they that we speak about are, they are racist elitist. Racist elitist. The 1%, if you will. Reverend Edward Pinckney went to his hearing on May 30th. And at that hearing, the judge removed the ban. That's the ban from using the Internet. It's been removed now. And also, Reverend Pinckney is no longer under house arrest. Reverend Pinckney was under a ban, a serious infraction against his First Amendment rights. He could not even have the Internet on in his home. His wife, who was not charged with any crime, was also disallowed from using the Internet at their home. I want to give you some information about the gravity of that ban. For instance, nobody who's been charged with kiddie pornography in the United States has been under a ban preventing them from using the Internet. Nobody who has been charged with bank fraud by Internet has been banned from using the Internet. Nobody who's been charged with identity theft by using the Internet has been banned from using the Internet. Even Julian Assange and Edward Snowden, who we know they want offline, even they were not prevented from using the Internet. Only Reverend Pinckney, a black minister from Michigan, the town of Benton Harbor, only he has received a ban on his Internet usage. So that ban has been lifted now, and Reverend Pinckney is able once again to venture out of his home if he feels safe doing that. Reverend Pinckney is a man who struck fear in the hearts of elitists. I say fear because that's what Henry Berry said when he was addressing the Virginia House of Delegates in 1832. He said that if we could keep light from entering these slaves' minds, we would be safe. That's the term he used. They censor people for their own safety because they feel like once you recognize, once you understand, once you know what's going on, they feel like their own security will be jeopardized, certainly since they don't intend to change. They don't intend to change. And who is the they? The they are racist elitists in the 1% who want to control all property, all commerce, and all people. They want to control you. They want to dominate you. They want to make all decisions for you. And this is not under the umbrella of government of the people, by the people, and for the people. They want to supplant the people in being the deciding force in America. Reverend Pinckney contests that. He challenges that every Sunday on his broadcast at 5 p.m. on Blog Talk Radio. That's the Reverend Pinckney Blog Talk Radio show. And I guess they got sick of him, and he was making them feel very insecure. For instance, he had a recall petition. He initiated a recall petition against the mayor of Benton Harbor, Michigan. He asserts that that mayor was selected by the corporate interests in Benton Harbor, Michigan, and that the mayor did not have the best interest constituents at heart. Not only did Reverend Pinckney assert this, but a sufficient number of petitioners joined him in that assertion to the point that the recall was successful. The recall was successful. But then that recall petition engendered more investigation than the numerous bodies of black men that are continually found in Benton Harbor, Michigan. I said that recall petition engendered more police investigation than the dead bodies of numerous black men that have appeared in the lakes and areas in Benton Harbor, Michigan over the last few years. So that is what happened with Reverend Pinckney. He has had his ban removed. He can now go on the Internet, and he has had his house arrest removed. He can now venture outside of his home. But his case was bound over. They had accused him of election fraud in connection with the petition to recall the mayor. He was accused for using a democratic process, a nonviolent process that we have in America to recall public officials who were elected supposedly by a democratic process. Recalling them is the way we have to get them out of office if they're not working out. So, Reverend Pinckney engaged in this perfectly legal, peaceful, democratic process and initiated a recall petition for the mayor of Benton Harbor, Michigan. And he was arrested. He was arrested, yes. They went out to his house with SWAT teams, I'm told. And they arrested Reverend Pinckney and charged him with election fraud. And now his case was bound over for trial. So that's the second part of this update regarding Reverend Pinckney. Number one, his ban has been removed. He can use the Internet. Number two, his house arrest has been removed. He can venture outside of his home. And number three, his case was bound over for trial. He wants to appeal that decision. We want to appeal that decision. So I ask you to please go online to B, as in honey, B, B-H-H as in honey, bhbanco, B-A-N-C-O, .org, bhbanco.org. And there you will find a PayPal depository. Please make a generous donation to Reverend Pinckney's Legal Defense Fund. Please make a generous donation to the Reverend Pinckney Legal Defense Fund by depositing in his PayPal there at BH Banco Organization. If you'd like to read more about the first American banned from the Internet, Reverend Pinckney, please go to my Justice Gagged blog and just Google that. Just Google it in your Google browser, first American banned from the Internet, Reverend Pinckney. Now, we want to thank you in advance for supporting his Legal Defense Fund. Try to give $5, $10, $20, $20,000, whatever you have, because Reverend Pinckney is in the court daily before this happened. He's in the court whenever he can, court watching for the people. He's writing articles and having them published, because he's fighting for justice for the people. He's exposing and opposing oppression, and that, I feel, led to his political arrest, and we want to support our political prisoners. I want to tell you about another individual. I said I would talk to you about three people regarding Release the Innocent. And if you would like to make comments, I invite you to do so. The telephone number is 347-857-3293. That's 347-857-3293. The next individual I want to talk to you about is Terrell Scott. Terrell Scott. T-E-R-R-E-L-L. Last name is Scott, S-C-O-T-T. Terrell Scott's present imprisonment, yes, he is back in prison. It's the most blatant evidence of mentally ill Americans being victimized for being sick that this advocate has ever encountered. Terrell Scott was rearrested on June 5th for failing to keep appointments with his probation office, although he was committed to a mental hospital at the time. His crime is apparently that he's not ever able to do astral projection. Astral projection is the ability to appear in two places simultaneously. So here's a young man who was released after having spent almost 5 years in prison in Pennsylvania on charges that were never proved because they could not be proved. He was denied trial for almost 5 years. Because this is a new thing in America. If you have a mentally ill person or a young black person from a family that lacks wealth, you know, you can have a job all day long and lack wealth. Then you arrest those people and you simply deny them a trial. You don't let them prove their innocence. Or let's put it this way, because they're innocent, shouldn't have to prove innocence. It's a matter of the state proving their case against the innocent people. They want to be able to arrest your mentally ill relatives and your youth, especially black youth, and keep them forever without a trial. This is indefinite detention without a trial. So that's what Terrell Scott endured for almost 5 years. He was denied a trial. As long as he refused to sign that plea bargain, he was denied a trial, even though Americans supposedly have the right to a speedy trial. But being mentally ill, his attorney, who was Attorney Lauer, L-A-U-E-R, got this young man, this mentally ill young man, to sign a plea deal. Yes, deal. P-H-I-L, Lauer, L-A-U-E-R. Yet this mentally ill young man to sign a plea deal, another plea deal. I'm sorry, he did get him to sign a plea deal, but at first he got him to sign a waiver to a speedy trial. So please tell your mentally ill folks to not sign a waiver to a speedy trial if they have, you know, enough understanding to know when they're looking at one. And I think that's the case. Most of them don't know what their lawyer is telling them to sign. And unfortunately, some lawyers work against their clients. Don't I know that? Yes, indeed. That's what I learned from the Jenny Cochran firm, that some lawyers work against their clients. And so he was released from prison finally when he signed that plea deal. And he was so stressed out when he was finally released from prison that he went to a mental hospital where he was committed to a mental hospital in order to get stress relief because he had PTSD from being raped and beaten behind bars and locked in solitary confinement. He was already mentally ill, but after all of that, 5 years of that type of treatment, he needed some mental help. So he was in a mental hospital. The police walked in the mental hospital on June 5th, and he said, had their hands on tasers, and told them that he had to come with them for violating parole. Now, obviously, they knew where he was because they were there. His mother had reported to the probation office that her son wouldn't be able to keep the probation appointments because he was in the mental hospital, and the mental hospital itself had told her, his mother, that they would also report it. So that's how they knew where he was. Have you ever heard of someone being imprisoned for probation violation when they were in the hospital at the time? And this young man was marched out of the mental hospital under the threat of tasering because he didn't make a probation appointment. That's what they say it's for. I frankly think that it was to continue to terrorize him, to continue to keep him mentally ill, because Pennsylvania has a fix on Terrell Scott. They have, they're fixated on him, and they're fixated, and I ask you to go to Dog Justice for the Mentally Ill and read the first article there. It is called Terrell Scott Rearrested on Indefensible Charges. I don't think that these charges are going to be defensible either. Just like the first charges that Terrell Scott was arrested on were not defensible. That's why they never went to trial, because you can't defend the type of charges that you're going to arrest someone for probation violation but not meeting their probation officer when you've been told that the individual is committed to a mental institution. How could any state hope to defend those kind of charges? They don't have to. That's the thing. Remember that I told you they're arresting our mentally ill people and our black youths and locking them away in jail, either without bond or with excessively high bonds, and they're keeping them for years without trial. That is in violation of the Sixth Amendment, guaranteeing the right to a speedy trial. It also happened to Shannon Nyamode, and he's the last person I will give an update for. Now, if you miss hearing the entire program right now, because if you joined us by computer, you will be shut down at 3:30 Eastern Time. Please come back and hear about Shannon Nyamode during the last 15 minutes of this show, which will be available to you at Blog Talk Radio on tape. Shannon Nyamode was arrested in Franklin County, North Carolina, on indefensible charges. I believe the prosecution never planned to take before a judge and jury. But because he was a black young man and not from a wealthy family, he was detained in Franklin County jail in torturous solitary confinement for almost 2 years with trial denied. He stood his ground and refused to sign a plea bargain, so they kept him in torture for 2 years. Being found in North Carolina DOC removed him from that environment to another facility, but they moved him back last week, and in one day, his lawyer got him to sign a plea deal. We don't know whether he was beaten or whether he was traumatized to be back in Franklin County Jail or how they got him to do it, but he did finally capitulate and sign a plea deal. So he has signed a plea deal. This is Shannon Nyamode, S-H-A-N-N-O-N, last name N-Y-A-M-O-D-I. Please look online, look up his case. This young man helped a Caucasian woman who had stumbled toward him where he was at the house he was visiting from her house. She came about four or five driveways down and collapsed on the porch to a house that he was visiting. He helped her get inside, and then they called 911. Shannon Nyamode went out and helped flag down the police and ambulance, and this woman was taken to the hospital. It turned out that she had been shot in her head during a robbery. and over $50,000 had been removed from her home. Investigation proved that her daughter had arranged a hit on her own mother, a robbery and murder is what that girl planned. She was a 15-year-old, and she planned for her mother to be murdered and robbed. But the question is, who did she plan this with? With whom did she make these plans? Shananai Modi said it was not him. And initially, the victim said it was not Shananai Modi. That was 2 years ago. The witnesses at the time said they saw a white man running from this white woman who was the victim's house. In 2 years' time, it has twisted around, but never went to trial, that it was Shananai Modi who did this robbery instead of he was the Good Samaritan who helped the woman after the robbery. Why would that happen? I believe it happened because Shananai Modi was the only black youth around. Shananai Modi was not a prejudiced boy. He was visiting friends at the house on that street, and that street, I believe, is predominantly Caucasian. It was a Caucasian lady he helped, and I believe that, as the witnesses said, it was a Caucasian who robbed and shot the woman. But Shananai Modi was the only black person around. And after the police took his statement about how he found the lady and et cetera, a few hours later they came back and arrested him. They put him in solitary confinement so that the media and individuals from advocacy groups and whomever would not be able to talk to this innocent young man. Even his mother, most of the time he was arrested, was not able to talk to him. Her name is Catherine Crudup. Most of the time that Shananai Modi was in Franklin County Jail, he was incognito. He was able to talk to no one, not on the phone, and I question whether or not he was even able to correspond by mail. The reason I question that is because the first thing that Shananai Modi did when he got away from that jail, remember I told you that he was tortured in Franklin County, North Carolina jail, but the Department of Corrections of North Carolina removed him from that jail and took him to another correctional facility. And time he got away from there, after nearly 2 years of torture, he wrote a letter and terminated Mr. Klinkerson. That was his attorney, Mike Klinkerson, K-L-I-N-K-O-S-U-M. And he filed a copy of that termination letter with the court. Okay? And the reason he fired Klinkerson is because Klinkerson seemed to be his problem, why he hadn't been to trial. Well, how would you like to have an attorney who did zero for you, who your family has paid enough money to buy a house? His family raised, I was told, upward of $50,000 for his defense, and this Klinkerson got the money. He was paid significant amounts of money for his defense of Shananai Modi. But he didn't defend him. As a matter of fact, after this young man had waited almost 2 years for a court date, and a court date came up for him, Klinkerson wrote to the court that he didn't have time to go to court for Shananai Modi. He said, I don't have time for him. And he asked for a continuance. So the first thing that Shananai Modi did when he was transferred was to write a letter to Klinkerson and file it, saying he did not want Klinkerson as his attorney. He wanted to seek other legal counsel. I don't know if you know this, but if you already have legal counsel of record, Other attorneys cannot legally talk to you about the merits of your case. They're barred from doing it. You have to get rid of the attorney that you're dissatisfied with before you can retain another attorney. Now, your attorney could retain another attorney for you, to work with him or her, but you can't go out and get another attorney while you get one. You can't replace one attorney until you get rid of the first attorney. Now, that's what I think Shannon Modi's problem was. So he got rid of Klinkerson, he thought, and he filed the copy of the termination letter with the court. So he felt really relieved, his family felt really relieved, because his mother had tried to fire this Klinkerson, and he wouldn't accept his termination from her. So his son fired him. But guess what? Mysteriously, now, Modi was transferred right back to Franklin County Jail last week, and Klinkerson was able to extract his signature on a plea bargain this same day. The trauma of being sent back to his torture chamber must have robbed Shannon Modi of his last resistance. And so he signed a plea bargain. His mother is and family are have retained counsel to see what can be done about this, because he signed a plea bargain that allows for, I think, up to 10 years incarceration for this offense that we know he did not do. But you see, both confessions account for 25% of America's wrongful convictions. And you and I might not understand why would anybody make a false confession. But I researched it, and I discovered that most false confessions are given by people who are mentally ill, like Terrell Scott, young man who was kept for 5 years under torture circumstances in Pennsylvania. He was raped. He was beaten, he was spat upon in his eye by an HIV-positive inmate. He was put in solitary confinement. That is torture, all of that. And he's mentally ill already. The thing is that most false confessions that are made by people who are mentally ill or young, children, those are the people who make most of the false confessions. And lately, I began to see even better how that is possible. I didn't know that people were being kept for years and years under torturous circumstances to enforce plea bargaining, to enforce false confessions. So, you know, it's not just that they're young. It's not just that they're mentally ill. It's also that they are being tortured. They are actually being tortured. You know, solitary confinement has been known to run very sane people insane. And so you couple that with raping them and Terrell Scott was beaten so badly that he can't see out of one eye or hear out of one ear now. His jaw is misaligned now. And so he was in a mental hospital, sort of de-stressing, if you would, from 5 years of being in that hateful environment, and they came and got him and put him right back in the Pennsylvania prison, in prison for missing probation appointments. He got out March 5th. That's when he was released on that plea bargain, March 5th. And by June 5th, 3 months later, he's missed 3 months worth of probation appointments. They came and got him from the mental hospital and put him back in jail. So we need to pray for the people who are innocent and behind bars. We need to pray for the people who are innocent and who are facing trial. That is Reverend Edward Pinckney's position. He's innocent and facing trial because the judge bound him over for trial. But we are thankful that he is relieved of the ban against him being able to use the internet. He is relieved of house arrest. He is no longer under house arrest, but his case was bound over for trial. Go to BH Banco organization, make a generous deposit in the PayPal there at the website. Also, we have Terrell Scott, who was actually mentally ill young man who was falsely accused initially. He stayed in jail 5 years without trial because the state did not have a good case against him. And then when he finally agreed to sign a plea bargain, suddenly he was competent enough to do that. And when he signed the plea bargain, they let him out, but only for 3 months. Because while he was in the mental hospital, they came and got him and put him back in prison, and they say it's because he missed his probation appointments. Then we finally have Shananai Modi, another young man I'm convinced is innocent. I believe what he was saying before he got transferred back to Franklin County Jail. I believe his story before he got transferred back to the place where he had been tortured for 2 years. I imagine, you know, do you think they moved him in order to add to the trauma of taking him back within 2 weeks? Because for 2 weeks he was out of Franklin County Jail. He was able to visit with his family on the phone and in person. He felt like a human being again. He wrote that letter and thought he had gotten rid of the attorney Clinkinson, who had initiated that false imprisonment for so long. And then when he looked up and saw he was back in the torture chamber, I imagine that completely broke that young man down. So please pray for Reverend Edward Pinckney and deposit in his PayPal. Please pray for young Terrell Scott, who is back in prison after being there 5 years without any shred of proof of guilt being presented. And please pray for Shananai Modi, who looked up and saw he was back in Franklin County Jail and capitulated and signed a plea bargain. We ask you to pray for all the wrongfully convicted as well. Pray for everybody who's awaiting trial and who maintain their innocence. And please don't forget to pray for people on death row, people who are on death row. This system is so corrupt that you can't know anybody is guilty of what they're charged with. Generally, you cannot. People make false confessions. These forensics labs, you know, you can say, well, I could prove it by DNA. Can you? How can you do that? Do you know that they closed down the forensic lab in Detroit because it was not reliable at one point? And last year we heard about a forensic lab that messed up 180,000 cases on purpose to help the prosecution. So let's just be aware that there are many innocent people behind bars, and let's pray for the innocent. We're making a human rights demand to release the innocent. God bless you. I'll talk to you next Saturday at 3 p.m. Eastern.